You guys can hear me because I just heard myself. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. If you're wondering why the heck there's a talk show happening at 10 a.m. here on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, you were listening to the Vandal Scoreboard, which after a four-month hiatus, as we were off doing all the fun things that college students do in the summer, we are back. There's a slight change this year. My name's James Dorman Aldrich. I'm, I guess, kind of in charge of this thing now. And I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Jaden Barfus. Jaden, introduce yourself a little bit if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm Jaden Barfus. I am a junior here at the University of Idaho. I have been a sports reporter for the Argonaut. This will be my third year. I cover the soccer team mostly, and I also cover men's and women's basketball, and I'm so excited to be able to spread my knowledge of sports.
Perfect. If that voice sounds familiar, that's because Jaden joined us a few times last year. And was a great sports knowledgeable person who I'm very glad to have joining us on the show this year. As Mark Warren, who was kind of in charge of this thing last year, is off doing bigger and better things with his life over on the Oregon coast, I believe he is. So, Jaden, let's just go ahead and jump right into this. If you're wondering, Vandal Scoreboard is a sports talk show, as we mentioned, where we cover everything Vandal athletics. So, we're running right into the beginning of a bunch of seasons here, catching the midst of the soccer season. Volleyball kicked off their season yesterday with a game against Alabama A&M at the Betty Austin Invitational. They will take on Southern Illinois University. Actually, I think they're playing right now. Yeah, so they started at 9 a.m. We could, I guess, check the live stats of that. We haven't done this live really much. Okay, never mind. We can't check the live stats. They aren't updated yet. So we usually do record this early, so this is a great opportunity for you to learn more about kind of what Vandal Scoreboard is, get a live look into things, and hopefully this is what the format will be going forward. But yeah, so like I said, volleyball's kicking off their season with a new head coach, Romano Redondo Criscova, who was on the coaching staff last year under the now gone Chris Gonzalez, whatever he's doing with his life now. After the whole kerfuffle of everything that happened last year with the allegations and the massive amounts of reports done by both the Argonaut, as Jaden mentioned, he works for, and the Orange County Register, who really kind of broke the news on that. And he was, I don't think he was technically fired. I think he just kind of left, right?
Yeah, so at the end of the summer, Coach Gonzalez resigned and was given a certain amount of money as a buyout of his contract.
Okay. Well, he's gone. So his former assistant head coach, Romana, is taking over as the at least interim head coach for now at least. She'll probably be around, I would imagine, for the full season, and then maybe they'll do kind of a bigger search after this season, or they'll hire her on full time. She, fun fact, Jaden told me this earlier, she played at Wisconsin for a few years, where athletic director Terry Golic formerly was at. So kind of a tie in there where they probably at least crossed paths a couple times before Romana took on this job as the coach at the University of Idaho, and Terry Golic coming in as the athletic director here about 5 years ago. So moving on past volleyball, you know, they lost yesterday 3-0. Hopefully we'll be able to turn things around this season after a rough couple of years under former head coach Chris Gonzalez. They won't play at home until September 26th against Portland State for the Big Sky home opener. No non-conference games at home. Mm-hmm. Feels like that's been a trend for a while, so pretty much used to that. Next, track and field has started their season. They went up to Cheney a couple days ago, yesterday, kicked off their season with the Clash of the Inland Northwest at Eastern Washington University. I don't have the full stats of how teams placed while they were there, just how the Vandals did. The women placed... okay, I think it was 4th and 5th, or 5th and 7th, maybe it was. Yeah, I really wish there was like a list or something that they had, but stats for cross-country are not kept well at all. The women got things started with Jesse Redding placing 7th with a time of 14 minutes 15 seconds in the 4K. And then Malia Kaporis finished in the top 20 at exactly 20th with a time of 14:42. And then Alex Terry finished 27th and Abigail Thomas finished in 29th. Times of 14:53 and 14:55. And then Andrea Cernuda rounded out the women's runners with a time of 15:02.75, which is a PB for her. The men finished 5th. With graduate student Sam Fulbright. Shout out to Sam. I went to high school with him. For those of you who haven't listened before, I've talked ad nauseum about how I went to high school with a runner at the University of Idaho. He had a personal best time of 18:32.98, placing 14th. Miles Ferguson also had a personal best, finishing 21st with a time of 18:45. And then the rest of the Vandals finished 32nd, 34th, and 36th. With James Hodgkins, Gage Zanette, and Shane Gard, respectively, finishing in those positions. So a fun little, you know, intro to the season for the volleyball team and for track and field. We'll follow them more going forward. Just excited to see kind of how they do this year with this being the final year of COVID years for a lot of these players. Specifically the track and field team, you know, Sam Fulbright finishing out his final season. And then, you know, a lot of the rest of these grad students, volleyball only having a few returners. So they'll look a lot different than last year. And it should be a decent season to watch for the Vandals volleyball and track and field teams. Now we're going to go into the whole reason that I asked Jaden to join me on the show this year, as he is what some would call an expert. I don't know if that's what I would call him, but he's pretty knowledgeable in the world of soccer, played in high school and has covered it for ever, at least the past 3 years, starting in his third year at the Argonaut, as the basically the beat reporter, as they call it in the industry, for Vandal Soccer. Jaden, kind of talk us through the beginning of the season here. You know, it's been a little rougher than maybe some would have expected after the loss of why am I blanking on names? Kira, right? That's her name, Kira Vitta. Leaving as she was just, I guess, too smart, got through her credits too quickly, and is, I think, back in Germany doing fun stuff over there. Yeah. So kind of just talk us through the beginning of the season, starting 3-2, and kind of what Vandal fans can look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, so... obviously, starting 3-2 is not the big platter everyone expects us to be, as we are defending Big Sky champions. But we've also played some pretty tough teams so far. We played in Pullman. We played a Seattle U team that was second into their conference. We played them on the road. We started the season on 4 straight away games, 2 of them in California. We are right now unbeaten inside California, with I think one more trip to California this season. But so far, it's been a very, I would say, a extremely good start for the opponents we've played. I mean, on Thursday, we defeated IU Indianapolis 2-1. Instead, a game where we came out on the front foot. We scored 2 goals in the first 25 minutes, had an excellent first half. And then the second half, we allowed a goal in the 49th minute. And we kind of took our took our offensive foot off the gas pedal. We allowed them back into the game. And then 85th, 86th minute, there was a controversial no penalty kick call that was not given to us that I think all soccer fans and Coach Jeremy Clevenger would agree should have been given. But we got the win, and for us having to replace not only Kira but Jade Sprague, one of our very key players to last year's team, a extremely important holding midfielder position. She had a what I would call a magnetic head. I mean, wherever the ball was, Jade's head seemed to find it. She scored, I believe, 4 header goals off a corner. She scored a game winning against NAU on senior day that gave the soccer team from a 4th place all the way up to 2nd place since the Big Sky tournament. And so replacing her is big. Sarah Rogers, a player that no Vandal fans would probably know from last year's team. She played inside a few games, but she wasn't as key as she's going to be. She has been a starting holding midfielder position this season and has done a very solid job. We obviously have Hannah Alfaro and Margot and Annika Farley back, so that midfield has been very strong. The back line with Kat Cassidy Ellicker, Rebecca Reyes, and Alyssa Peters, who's on the NCAA Women's Soccer Defenders watch list. Those three have been the backbone of this team. And then with the outside back position, it's been a big battle between sophomores Kate Sprink and Izzy Toma. They both started, they both played in, they both played great. Kate is the more offensive outside back. She has 3 assists, including one on inside the game on Thursday night. And so it's going to be a very interesting non-conference schedule before we come into the conference season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, as you mentioned, 3-2 probably wasn't the start that the Vandals were looking for, but, you know, they played Washington State well.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they were outshot 24-1. Corner kicks was, what, 13-3, something like that. So 13-1. Oh, we only had 1 corner kick. Okay. I was at that game. I don't really remember what happened, but, you know, but we played them better than who many people believe is the best team in the Big Sky Conference, the University of Montana,
mm-hmm.
Who lost to WSU 3-0, also at Pullman. So played the Cougars better than the other team in the Big Sky Conference did. Montana also took another loss the other day. I think this is going to be a very good Big Sky season for the Vandals. You know, they have a lot of tough non-conference games. You know, they play at Boise State later next week, next Sunday.
Yep.
A game against UNOV at home. I imagine UNOV is probably decent.
Yes.
I think we've played Nevada every year that I've been here. I have no idea what the win-loss record on that over the past 3 years has been. Did we beat them last year? Or did we lose to them last year?
We tied them last year.
Tied them last year. So, yes. And then we have Utah Tech at home before starting into conference play.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Margo and Maddie kind of stepping into that spot that Jade left open as she, funnily enough, transferred to the University of Oregon, which we'll talk about later in the show. Kind of talk about who's really stepped up more in that position. You know, Margo having the 3 goals. Maddie seems like it's been kind of a tough start to the season. For lack of a better phrase, starting in 3 games, mm-hmm. but playing in all 5. Just kind of what you've seen out of Margo, Maddie, and kind of the other leaders on the team so far this season.
Yeah, so for 3rd straight year since I've been here, the captains, Maddie and Margo, if you guys don't know them, Margo Schessler from the Spokane area, she is a dynamic midfielder. She's a very up-and-down midfielder. And she scored in three games. She has scored in back-to-back games. She's including a game winner against IU Indianapolis, and she scored the game tying goal against Washington State. She also scored the game tying goal against CSUN. So it's been a great start of the season for her. I mean, obviously Margot, all Vandal fans that have watched soccer team know who she is. But then Maddie Lasher has had a tough couple years for the Vandals. She really burst onto the scene her, I think, junior year, my first year here. She had 5 goals that year and then got hurt against Idaho State, missed a couple games. Then last season, she was out the first 9 games of the season, came back again against Eastern Washington. She did score the game-tying goal inside the championship game against NAU. So the one thing about our forwards is a very deep forward room, with our two starters right now being Carly Yoshida-Williams and Jaden Hanks. Hanks, a graduate student, so obviously an experienced player. Carly is a junior who's been a quick and dynamic wing for us. We have Sienna Gonzalez, who hasn't gotten very much playing time over her years, has 2 goals already. She scored in back-to-back games the first 2 games of the season. We have Naomi Alvarez, who played her first game, her first minutes against IU in Indianapolis. And then we have Maddie, who hasn't had the start on the stat sheet she wanted, but Maddie does a lot of things off the stat sheet well. She holds up play, she draws fouls, and she really opens up the game for her teammates, which she has done exceptionally well again. I know against IU Indianapolis, she was brought in the last 5 minutes to close out the game. She has that experience as a forward that will really help us. And with Maddie healthy and actually being able to play, will open up everyone else for conference play. In, as you put, is going to be really a 3-headed race between us, Montana, and NAU. The one non-conference game that I do want to talk about is the one next Sunday. Boise State is now 3-0 on the season, beat Idaho State 3-1. So not only do we want to continue the winning streak, but we also want some bragging rights for the state. Us not playing Boise State a lot, this is going to be a big game, big challenge for us. They have also some dynamic forwards. One is senior forward Carly Cross, who scored 2 goals versus Idaho State. And so that's going to be a challenge for our very steady back line. And so it should be a great game next Sunday. But yeah, for our captains, besides those two, Peters, number 11, Alyssa Peters, led the Big Sky and was nationally ranked inside assists last year. Most of that was to Jade. So this Vandals team has a lot of experience, a whole lot of captains that can go super far this year.
I also want to go further in depth into that Boise State game. But before that, you mentioned Sienna Gonzalez, who at the game Thursday night, I asked, who the heck is that? I had never heard Sienna's name, and she's been here since her sophomore season, played her freshman season for Southern Methodist University. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, didn't get a lot of playing time, but she's been very, very good to start the season, already with 2 goals and assist. Tell me and everyone else a little bit about her and kind of what you've seen out of her so far this season and kind of what you hope to see going forward.
Yeah, I mean, for her, like I said, the forward room for the University of Idaho has always been a very tough, competitive room to be in, and especially when Idaho plays two forwards. Most teams play with three. They'll play with one forward and then two maybe outside wingers, but we play with two forwards up top. And so, Siena also was not – she played in a few games last year. Wasn't really – I wouldn't say a key player because I believe every player on the team has their role. And so Siena played a role really well last year. And but coming in the 2024 season, she started off with a bang, scoring instead of the first game of the season. And so she has been – I would call her a spark. That's something I would really call her. Like the game against IU in Indianapolis when Carly was getting tired, subbed her in, and then like 5 minutes in, she provided the assist to Margot's goal. And so she really has been a spark to the Vandals, which is something that we need. We need someone to come off the bench that is going to spark this team because, I mean, granted, our starters can't play the whole game. So we really need that spark, and she's really impressed me in that aspect of just being a spark and then always being there for her teammates and on the field so far.
For sure. Looking at this Boise State game, obviously it's going to be a massive game for the Vandals, a huge game for Vandal fans. It's been 5 years since they've played.
Yeah.
I thought it had been much longer, not going to lie. But last time they played was a 1-0 win for BSU at up here in Moscow in 2019. And they do lead the all-time record, 13 wins, 5 losses, 2 ties, 8-2-1 at home, 5-3-1 on the road. So this isn't going to be an easy game for the Vandals to go into, especially if it's, you know, like the game, I think it was in 2009 here up in Moscow. Vandals won 3-1. There was a goal scored in like the final second of the game that really pushed the Vandals over. So, you know, it's going to be what I would say one of the better games to watch this season, whether we win or lose. Just having that kind of that rivalry aspect to it, and hopefully, maybe I'm being very, very hopeful here. Boise State willing to schedule an Idaho team. We haven't seen that, you know, in 5 years. We haven't seen that in football in 13 years. I think 2011 was the last time that the Broncos and Vandals played. I won't go into detail on that. It would make me angry. So, you know, that's going to be a really fun game to watch. And I hope we come out with a win just because that would be really fun and really cool to see as my last year here at the university. And then really looking forward to conference play, especially starting at home against Sac State on September 27th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, the game against Boise State has layers and layers and layers. Me actually being from Idaho, being only 4 hours from Boise State, have always known about the Idaho State, Boise State, this big-time in-state rivalry, so I'm so excited for it to come back this year. Boise State has an extremely tough game before us. They play number 16-ranked BYU Cougars, who was in the Final Four last season before losing to Stanford. So that and they travel to Provo this year, and so that's going to be an extremely tough game before us. And so that could really work inside our favor, having a tough game like that before us. That game on September 8th at 1 p.m. Mountain Time.
Noon. Yeah, noon Pacific, 1 p.m. Mountain
Time. Yeah, so 1 p.m. Mountain Time is going to be a game that I think, I mean, I know that it might be dramatic to say, it's going to set the tone for our entire season. Because that is a game that every Vandal fan wants us to win. Boise State is a game. It doesn't matter the sport. If it's volleyball, if it's football, if it's track and field, we always want to beat Boise State. And to beat a team that started 3-0, beat Idaho State, a team that we have that we beaten both times that I've been here. So that game's going to be good, and this is a game we can very much win. I mean, this isn't like Washington State where it's okay, let's just hold on and hope. This is a game from the time the game kicks off to the final whistle, we have a great shot to win the game. Now, we're not going to be able to make the small little mistakes we've been making. Like, I mean, in back-to-back games, we gave up handball penalty kicks. And then we've conceded 4 goals off of corners, 2 from penalty kicks. So we've only conceded 1 goal in open play, which should tell you how good our back line has been. Now, if we can get our communication problems solved on corner kicks, if we can be as if we don't get the balances off our hands straight up, this is going to be a fight. And I think with the depth of our forwards, and if our midfield can really come out, and the midfield, and I don't know how many of you guys know about soccer, the midfield wins games because the midfield dictates everything about the game. You can have great forwards and great backline and still lose a game because the midfield connects everything. Connects the back line, connects the forward line. So if our midfield can win against Boise State, we have a very good shot.
I also want to look at, you know, Boise State as a whole as kind of this measuring stick for the Big Sky Conference. You know, they beat Portland State 2-1, beat Idaho mm-hmm. State 3-1. They face us on September 8th. They play Montana in Missoula on September 19th, and then play Eastern Washington in Cheney on September 22nd to finish out their non-conference schedule. You know, just as I mentioned with Washington State, we played them better than Montana did. You know, if we play Boise State better than Montana did, we play Boise State better than Montana does, or Eastern Washington does, mm-hmm. we play them better than Idaho State did. You know, it would be nice if they scheduled NAU as well instead of Utah Tech or something, but you know, they play a lot of Big Sky teams, almost half the conference. And that's going to be a big measuring stick for what the Big Sky is going to look like this season, which I'm very excited for Big Sky play this year. All the Vandals have to do is get past UC San Diego, Boise State, University of Nevada, Utah Tech, UNLV. We only have a month left.
and then
we get conference, sure. 27, 28 days, so 4 weeks technically. Mm-hmm. And then we're into the thick of it. You know, luckily we start at home for the first 2 games, and that should just be a fun season. And then the Big Sky tournament in Missoula, which Jaden maybe will go to.
Maybe we'll see.
I'll be in Kansas City, so.
For the Big Sky conference as really a whole, throughout the Big Sky community, the best team last year was the University of Montana. Montana was the best team. But the Montana lost to NAU and said the semi. So everyone was saying, well, the University of Idaho dodged Montana. No, University of Idaho took care of business, Montana didn't. And so that game inside Missoula when Idaho plays Montana is going to be the best game of this entire season. Because Montana was picked number one to win the Big Sky Conference. Me, as someone who's watched Idaho for 3 years and watched Montana for 3 years, thinks that at our best, we are a better team than Montana. I think that Montana, I'm sorry to all, if the Big Sky voters and coaches are going to like actually hear this, but they are very, extremely favored when it comes to voting and everything.
This is in every sport.
Yeah, every single sport. But like the soccer and... I think that us being voted number 3 is a joke. I think that as a defending Big Sky champion that lost 3 players, 3 key players, should not be rated against a team that didn't even make the final and then a team that we beat in the final in NAU. And so this conference season, it's going to be challenging. I think that we play NAU away, we play Montana away, so we play our really tough opponents away, which these four games to start out the year was a great test for that, because when you play four straight away games, I mean, I believe the Vandals were home for like 4 days in like close to a month, mm-hmm. because they were in California, and then school started, so they came home for that, and they went to Seattle, and then this, and so it's been a very challenging start to the season. But when it comes to conference play, you have Montana playing these cream puff teams that are like the Division II, Division III schools, and you have us playing teams on the road like Boise State. That Boise State Montana game will be good too, but that Washington State showed us a lot about our grit and our heart and our resiliency. And then this game against Boise State is going to show us a lot about our fight and see how much fight we have inside a game that Boise State might come out and land the first blow. And in certain years for a Idaho team, if the other team scores first, some of us shut down for one half or something like that. But this season, we've proven, because in every game except for the first game of the season against UC Riverside, and then the last game at Indianapolis, we've been down. Against Seattle, we got down, we came back, and we tied it. Against Washington State, we got down, we came back and tied it. And so this season might not be... Well, we might be 3-2, but we've played a lot better than what our 3-2 record shows.
Yeah. Before we jump into football here in just a minute, I do kind of want to, you know, you talked about Montana's schedule. 1-0 Colorado College, 3-0 Pac-2 school Oregon State, lost 3-0 to WSU. They won 2-0 against Montana State University Billings, which is an NAIA school. They're D2. They're D2. Mm-hmm. I should know that. I, you know, live 2 hours away. And they just lost to Fresno State, who Boise State starts their conference schedule with. Mm-hmm. And then they play the same team we just did, IUPUI, at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Fun fact, Indiana University Indianapolis has changed their name like six times in the last 10 years, so a lot of places will still have them listed IUPUI. Same team, IU Indy. So that's a lot about soccer. That was about 25 minutes where we just chatted about soccer, and which makes sense. You know, they're the team that's furthest in their season so far. Mm-hmm. You know, 3-2, and some their game Thursday, 6 p.m., September 5th, Big Sky Championship recognition, raise the banner. It's been a while since we've been able to do that for anything except golf. Or not golf, tennis. And then, this hasn't been really pushed out there, but it's on the promotions page, so I'm going to say it. There will be replica rings being given out for those in attendance of the game. So, football. We play Oregon today. For those of you who don't know Jaden Barfus is one of the biggest University of Oregon fans I know. I still don't quite understand why, but, So this is going to be a tough day for Jaden. He's told me multiple times that he won't even turn the game on. So we're going to chat about football, chat about this game against a team that I will not like because they left the Pac-12, leaving just Oregon State and Washington State in their dust. But then again, so did 10 other teams, so I guess I can't be too upset at them. The over-under for this game is 63.5, I think, and the... point differential prediction is -43.5 for the University of Oregon Ducks. So those down in Vegas are projecting them to win by a lot. Idaho could, you know, kick a field goal with 3 seconds left to make it 60-20, and they'd cover the spread. You know what? I'm happy with that. So let's talk a little bit about what this game is going to look like, Jaden.
Yep.
Javonte McCoy is gone. Hayden Hatton is gone. Jermaine Jackson is gone. A bunch of our defensive players are gone.
Yep.
Anthony Woods is gone. Our offensive identity is very, very different than what it was for the past, you know, two, three years.
2 years, Sam.
Javonte McCoy is at Oregon State, who plays Idaho State today. So Javonte finally gets to show what he can do against the Bengals. But this is a game going into that is really going to show what the 2024-2025 Idaho Vandal football team is going to look like. Jack Wayne in the backfield, about 17 different running backs who could get playing time. Eli Cummings will be back. Nate Thomas, who's been who transferred in from the University of South Dakota, been injured on and off for his entire time as a Coyote, I think University of South Dakota is.
Mm-hmm.
Brought in long snappers Jace Eastlick and Xander Ickles, or Dylan Fisher and Xander Ickles. Jace is a freshman out of Coeur d'Alene. Dylan and Xander both, I think, is Alcorn State? No, Alcorn's FCS, I think. So mm-hmm. Xander most likely taking the starting long snapping spot, which was held by Hogan Hatton, who was recently announced as the long snapper for the Detroit Lions. But anyway, this is a game that Idaho needs to go into and is going into with absolutely no expectations.
Yep.
And you know, people have said that, you know, Idaho could lose this game by 70. It's not going to matter for the future. Nobody cares if we lose by 70. If Idaho wins this game by one, I would call it the biggest upset in FCS or in FCS versus an FBS team in history. Now, do I think that's going to happen? Not likely. But I kind of want to go into the key players for this game.
Yep.
And Jaden, I would love for you to step in whenever. I let you talk a lot about soccer.
Yeah.
Because I know absolutely nothing, really. But both of us are pretty knowledgeable on the sport of football. I'm very excited to see what Jack Lane can do. I might be the worst person on the planet because I posted very vocally on Twitter that I think Jack Lane is a better quarterback than Javonte McCoy. Then I replied to Javonte McCoy's Instagram story saying I can't wait for him to cook Idaho State. Then he went back on Twitter, liked my post about Jack Lane being better. Oh, whole thing there. I don't think he's actually mad at me, but he might try to prove me wrong today, which good for him. I'm excited to see what he can do at Oregon State. But
yeah,
Jack Lane has played two games for the Vandals, both against a very mediocre. Is that a good word
to
use?
I'd call him crappy.
Okay, so I'll say mediocre. That seems a little nicer. Idaho State team over the past couple years haven't really had an identity as a team. You know, they've lost to the Vandals for the past 3 years at least. I mean, they lost to a Paul Petrino-led team my freshman year, 14-0. And then Jack Lane went on and cooked them the last 2 years. So, you know, I think Jack Lane is going to be a very good quarterback for the Vandals. However, I wouldn't let him play all four quarters of today's game. And we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Idaho has three backup quarterbacks, two redshirt freshmen and a freshman. I think Rocco Cook is probably how you pronounce his last name. I think he's a walk-on freshman. Coke. He pronounces it Coke. So Holden B is out with an injury. I really would have liked to see Holden play today. But, you know, he's out with something with his legs. Kochek said it might be an ACL. I don't think that's really been released out into the world. But, you know, you have Jack Wagner, who will most likely be the quarterback listed as the backup on the depth chart. And then Nick, I'm going to go with Josefek because he doesn't have a pronunciation guide for his name. So Nick will probably be that kind of third string. And then Rocco there in at fourth. So it's kind of upsetting that Holden won't play today, but hopefully he's back from injury by, you know, the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, this Idaho Vandals football team has to honestly start over, because we have brand new quarterback, brand new tailbacks, brand new wideouts. Our offensive line is still there, which is a key piece today, but we really have to, because in the past it's been run first and then pass. We have to discover what this team is going to be good at. Are they going to be pass first? Are they going to be? And I know fans love the pass, right? Everyone loves to see the 70-yard bombs. But if an Idaho team can ground and pound the Big Sky Conference, it would be great for us. Inside the playoff game, we could not. Anthony Woods could not do anything inside that game against Albany. Mostly because we couldn't pass the ball. So you have to do both. To be a great team, to be a South Dakota State type of team, you have to do both. You have to be able to pass, you have to be able to rush. Now, you and I agree on a whole bunch of things. The Vonnie Lane, Jack Lane thing, I don't think, I wouldn't say we'll ever agree on it, but it's just, I don't get how people can judge Jack Lane off of two games. Giovanni played two full seasons. Now, that's also not me saying Jacqueline won't be good. I think Jacqueline's also going to be a dang good quarterback. But to call him better than Vonnie is like saying I'm now a better co-host than James because I now have one episode under my belt. And so it's the same thing of we've seen him against one team. Twice. Now, he's absolutely destroyed them both times. But it's just like playing the quarterback position is a very important position. It's the most important position on the field. And so it's like this game against Oregon, which, guys, I've loved Oregon since I was 5 years old. Loved them. And so today's a very hard day for me because I'm now here. I'm now a Vandal. But I really haven't been a Vandal for life. I really have been a Duck fan for life so far. So this game's tough for me. But what Idaho needs to do today to really show, they really have to show flashes today. They have to show flashes of the offensive line being able to block a stellar and quick and powerful defensive line Oregon has. They're going to have to be able to run. They're going to run between the tackles. Because if they can't do that in the Big Sky, they will not win against Montana. Not against Montana, because we don't play them this year. But against Montana State on the road in Bozeman on ESPN2. We're gonna have to run it. We're going to have to show that we can pass, too, against a Oregon secondary who has probably the best cornerback in the entire country on the right side inside Jabbar Muhammad. So it's definitely going to be a great test today at Austin Stadium. Austin Stadium is going to be absolutely electric today because it's the opening season. I know on Twitter, Oregon fans have been so excited for the season to start, same as Vandal fans. So today, I mean, my heart is torn right down the center, but I think to walk out of here with not really a win, because it's going to take a whole lot of things for the Vandals to win today, but to show that we can compete, to show that we have the bones to compete in this stellar Big Sky Conference is what people should take away from today, and hopefully there's no big injuries today.
I absolutely agree. You know, I think the win for Idaho today is losing by less than 30, you know, and walking out with no injuries,
yeah,
and finding the identity for the season, finding what, yep, your running back room specifically, yep, is going to be. With Coach Cooper coming in, this is his first year as a D1 coach. He went straight from the coaching as a head coach of a high school team into this position as the running back coach. He played for the University of Washington. There's a lot of running backs in this room that could be very good for the Vandals. You know, I mentioned mm-hmm. Nate Thomas, Eli Cummings. I'm very big on Art Williams, a redshirt freshman out of Meridian.
Yep.
I think Art could be very, very good. I think Day-Day Buchanan could be good. Eli, I imagine, just because, you know, he's been in this Vandals offense before, will likely be the starter today. They didn't release the two deep. I guess there's this thing that Oregon does where they don't release the two deep until, like, Jaden said, like 2 hours before the game. So Idaho's following in their footsteps. And so I have no idea what the depth chart looks like for today. I'm going to make some guesses and say that it'll likely be Eli and Nate, maybe Eli, Art, Eli, Carlos. Carlos Matheny, unfortunately, in his first ever snap as a Vandal, fumbled the football. That's probably what he will be remembered for by both his teammates and myself for his time at the University of Idaho. But he could be good for the Vandals today. If I'm Idaho, you know, you have Day-Day, you have Eli, you have Art, you have Carlos, you have Marquis McKinnon, and you have Nate Thomas. You have six running backs. Run them all out there.
Yeah, exactly.
And see, you know, see who can make the biggest strides against the number three FBS team in the country. Looking at, you know, the tight end position, Jake Cox will most likely be the starter. He showed flashes last season. Mike Martinez, he's a transfer from UCLA technically. He hasn't played collegiate football in 2 years. Went to Mater Dei High School, played at UCLA. You know, there's not much out there about him. He's not really on social media much. Alex Moore, also a tight end that we could see today. I would love to see Mason Minnie out there. And then looking at the wide receiver room, this is where Idaho needs to find their identity today. Jordan Dwyer, most likely going to be that number one mm-hmm. receiving option. You also have Emerson Cortez, Mark Hamper, who I think will probably be the second option. They interviewed KHQ/SWX, interviewed him after practice the other day, and he said, you know, this is an opportunity for us to go out and show the world who the Vandals are. There's really no pressure on this team at all.
No, and so that is the absolute beauty about this game for the Vandals. Absolutely no one expects them to win, right? Nobody expects it to even be close. So they can go out and just play. I mean, they can play who they want, and they can see not only the starters, but who is there behind them, who is there in the third string, who can step up for them. So this game for the Vandals is huge. For the flip side, for Oregon, has all the pressure. Number three into the country, expected to be a national champion finalist. I think even as an Oregon fan, that is a bit high for our expectations. But with third-year coach Dan Lanning, it's going to be a great year for Oregon. But for the Vandals, this game is actually a perfect game for them because, like James just said, there's no pressure. There's no expectations, and they can play and really decide who is going to play for this team in 2024.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I said it to you, I think, last week sometime. Originally, I wished that we played Oregon second so that we kind of had an easier opponent in Wyoming, you know, still an FBS team, but, you know, playing Wyoming in week two is still going to be a tough challenge for the Vandals, but mm-hmm. at least by then you're going to have kind of this better knowledge of what your identity for the 2024 season is going to be. I'm excited to see what Orion Peters, transfer from Washington State, will do. I'm excited to see, you know, kind of this revamped defense mm-hmm. In the backfield. You know, you have Beecham, Tommy, who played a little bit, or who played last season. You know, may not be, you know, he's no Marcus Harris or Mervin Kenyon, but he's still a pretty decent football player. Had a couple interceptions last season. Jaxton Eck holding down the middle linebacker position.
Yep.
We were at the spring game, and I said, you know, if I'm Coach Eck, I'm just sending my kid right to the quarterback, right down the center every time, just blitz Jaxton Eck. And then he went and got a coverage interception. So maybe I don't know football as well as I thought I did. Offensive line, luckily.
Pick six, too.
Yeah, exactly. So this offensive line, luckily, as you mentioned, a lot of players from last year. Leighton Vining will be pretty decent. Charlie Vleem. And then, you know, there's also quite a few freshmen who came in that, you know, we could see throughout the season stepping up when inevitably the offensive line gets tired or starts cramping. That's one thing, you know, we have about 9 minutes left. The Vandals had this issue early last season. You know, they eventually got it kind of figured out around the time that Big Sky Conference play started that I think every team really goes through, but they cramped a lot in those first few games against Cal, against Nevada, you know, these FBS opponents who luckily they were able to get out of Nevada with no injuries, out of Cal with no big injuries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you were up 17-0 against Cal. If you're not cramping every other play, maybe that second half goes a little better.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at kind of this revamped secondary, like I mentioned, Jaxton Eck, Sir Barnes, who I didn't realize was a senior this year. I definitely thought he was like a redshirt sophomore, but Sir Barnes will be pretty good. And then the kicking position. I'm very biased here with this kicking position. With Owen Adams, a freshman out of Laurel, I do kind of expect him to be the kickoff specialist for this team. I DM'd him on Instagram last night, said that I was really excited to see this two deep come out. He said he was as well, so let's kind of hope he's getting some playing time today. Cameron Pope will step up into the PAT and field goal position, and then LJ Harms stepping up in the punter position, both previously held by Ricardo Chavez, who's still trying to find his way into some professional league. Really fun to kind of watch him continue his journey as a football player, try to make it out there in the world as he, you know, finds his way into maybe the NFL someday or UFL or wherever the heck he ends up at. But, you know, Ricardo was very good for the Vandals for the past couple of years. But he's also was very high on LJ Harmon, and Cameron Pope. They all worked very well together, practiced well together. So this is, you know, this is going to be a, you know, it can't be said enough how much this is going to help prove the identity of the Vandals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the last couple players I want to mention, Dallas Afalava and Keyshawn James Newby, both preseason all defensive picks. Jakari Larman wasn't one of them, but you and I saw him at Winco the other day. He's trimmed down quite a bit, but still a very, very large man. He's listed 6'2", 315. And then you have Malachi Williams, who's a leader on this team. And, yeah, this is going to be just a big day for the Vandals. Maybe they'll cover the spread. Maybe they won't. You can't bet in Idaho anyways, so it doesn't really matter. And then lastly, a player who I expect to see today, Diesel Wilkinson out of Spokane. I showed you this video of him earlier just absolutely lighting up a wide receiver. It might have been Mark Hamper. I couldn't really see the offensive numbers, but he's a freshman. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, DB. Could be very big for the Vandals today. Jaden, I don't know if you have listened to the Vandal scoreboard in the past, but at the end of every episode, Mark and I would make our prediction for this week's football game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough for you, I know. So I'll let you go first. What your prediction for the game is, I'll give you the over-under again. It's 63.5.
Okay.
The Vandals are projected to lose by 44 points.
Well, see, for me, I absolutely hate like predicting scores because we have no idea how the game's going to go. Obviously, it's the first game for both teams. Oregon's playing at home at Autzen Stadium. They've only lost one game there in 3 years. So I do have Oregon winning. It's very tough for me to say. But the score, See, last year in Oregon's first game, they put up 83. So, I mean, I can't say it's first game jitters if they put up 83 last year. I'm going to go 40. I think I'm going to go 56-10.
56-10. Okay. Yeah. I am going to I'm going to take the under on the score, and I'm going to take the under on the spread. I'm going to predict the Vandals lose. I don't often predict the Vandals lose, and I'm usually correct when I do. I'm going to predict, this is tough. I think I'm going to go 49-14. Actually, no. 49-17, because I want to see a field goal. I want to see a field goal today. So 49-17, Oregon takes the win at home. All I really want to see out of today is just everybody gets home healthy. The Vandals figure out who their wide receiver core and running back core is going to be. I'd love to see maybe a sack out of Tommy McCormick. I want to see Hayden John get some good playing time. Kyron Beecham, see if he's stepped into his role as a senior leader on the team. And all in all, I just want it to be a good, fun day of football. And you can't be happier that college football is back, especially FCS football. You know, NDSU Colorado was a great game. Oregon State, Idaho State will be a fun game to watch before the Vandals play. Washington State is playing in about an hour against Portland State. The last time Portland State played a Pac-12 team was when Oregon was in the Pac-12 and they lost 83-7. So,
yes.
One more thing before we go. There are 11 games in this season. We predicted the score, I guess, before we start the season. We have a couple minutes left. I'm going to give my official prediction for the season. I think the Vandals are going to go 8-3. This is different than my 9-2 prediction. I do think they will lose a Big Sky game. They could lose both FBS games. I just feel like 8-3 is the best way to go here. I think their ceiling is 9-2, losing today, and then maybe Montana State or Wyoming. Jaden, with about a minute left here.
Yeah. See, for me, I think we play 11 games. I think I'm going to go one under you. I'm going to go 7-4. Their ceiling being 9-2. With us playing Wyoming in Wyoming, it's going to be very tough with Albany than with Montana State. We had some really tough teams. So I think my prediction would be 7-4. Still a playoff team, but a lower seed than last year.
Absolutely. It would be Jason Eck's worst season as head coach, but still better than about the 10 years we had before him. So thank you all for tuning in to this live episode of the Vandal Scoreboard. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, hopefully we'll be doing this more often. Jaden is living out every Vandal's dream next week and is going to watch Boise State get beat as he goes to his, as we mentioned, lifelong favorite team of the Oregon Ducks in Autzen Stadium in Eugene. So we'll try to record